Hello, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of CPA Review and More. We are pleased to bring you the number one podcast for CPAs and CPA candidates. If you'd like to learn more about how Yeager CPA Review can help you, find us on our website at YeagerCPAReview.com. Now, here's your host, Phil Yeager.
Hello, everyone. This is Phil Yeager, and this is CPA Review and More, the podcast that asks the question, why do I want to be an accountant? Now, you are going to answer that question after you see our guest today. And here it is, a man that is willing to be on this podcast in spite of the fact that this is coronavirus. And by the way, I hope everyone out there is safe and healthy, all right? But you know, in a way, it's the advantage to me is, all right, people are willing to do interviews because they can't go out. So anyway, I have here Mark Goldman, CPA, and Mark helps accounting professionals advance. So Mark, welcome to the podcast. And Mark, I was on your podcast, correct?
Yes, back in 2018, I think.
What is your podcast called, by the way?
Sure. It's Where Accountants Go, the Accounting Careers Podcast. We actually have just rebranded it a little bit. The podcast is about everything you can do starting from a background in accounting. And obviously, you know, I have tax partners and audit partners and CFOs and controllers and individuals like that. But I've also had life coaches. I've also had a number of financial advisors, people in the tech industry. Actually, I interviewed Sheehan Chandrasekara, just like you did here recently, him and his partner there in Houston. So really, the point is to show you everything you can do, you know, that the world is your oyster if you're able to start with a background in accounting. It's really applicable anywhere.
Now, I just want to know, and people ask me, do you have to be a CPA to get any place in the accounting profession?
No. Now, I will say I am biased because I am a CPA, and being a CPA has made a tremendous difference in my own career, in my own life. But obviously, you can have a great career, and there are other certifications out there available. However, I do believe, and I think I have an educated opinion on this from my own career and then from being a recruiter over 20 years, that the CPA certification is the most universally applicable and the most universally recognized. And therefore, I think the most powerful certification in the market for accountants.
You place people, is there a demand for people with CMAs?
Yes, there is, but the CMA is just not as well recognized, and that doesn't mean it's less valuable in terms of what the individual gets and what the employer gets. However, it's just unfortunate not all employers really know what a CMA is. And actually, I will say I'm a past president of the local Institute of Management Accountants here in San Antonio, and I find a lot of value in the CMA. But it's really rare that we see a job description from an employer say they'd like a CMA and it doesn't mention or a CPA, you know, where vice versa, we will see CPA or a CMA.
What about people who graduate from accounting and they don't have their CPA and then they say, gee, I really don't like what I'm doing. I don't like the company. Is it easy to replace them? Is it easy to place them in another company without the CPA?
To help them transition, I think is the term you're looking for. Yeah.
Well, I don't know those college board words, you know. But anyway, I haven't taken the SATs in a while. But anyway, what did you call that? I'm sorry, what do you call those people?
Help them transition. They're job seekers. You want to help them transition.
Okay. What is the deal with that? Someone doesn't like what they're doing, and they have never taken the CPA exam. What's their chance of, the mobility of changing from one job to another?
You know, this is one of the sort of the cruel realities of the CPA certification is that early in your career, frankly, it I say very early in your career, frankly, it doesn't matter a whole lot. You know, your first year, 2-3 years, you're going to get promoted. You're still going to advance in your career. You know, people may ask you if you're pursuing it, but you know, if you say you even plan to, it's still beneficial. The cruel reality is that it really starts to matter later in your career, you know, 7, 8, 10 years into your career, because now you're applying for jobs or you're wanting jobs and promotions where a CPA is preferred, if not required. And sadly, the cruel reality is it's harder to pass at that point, you know, because you're further away from your college education. So, you know, is it possible to transition? Oh, yes. I mean, you know, we place people all the time that don't have their CPA certification. However, the CPA certification really is golden. And I will tell you, and, you know, when we have a confidential interview with an accountant about their career, many, many times I've heard from your 45-year-old accountant, 40-year-old accountant, 50-year-old accountant that is transitioning in, you know, from controller job to controller job or something like that, that they wish they would have pursued their CPA exam earlier because it would have made it easier at that point.
Are you familiar with this evolution that's going on at the AICPA?
Yes, I've seen some basic information on it. I'm active in the state CPA Society, TSCPA, and through our meetings, I've seen some of the different pathways that they're going to start to provide.
Do you know how that works, what they're thinking is on the evolution?
You know, I know the basics, but I'm sure the basics I've seen and I've related to are different to what you've seen and related to because our industries are different. I honestly feel for people in your industry because I know it's going to require a lot of adjustment in the CPA review area.
The AICPA says, hey, we'll have a core curriculum. You'll take an exam with a core curriculum. And then everyone will take the same exam, whether you're going into another area or not. And then once you pass the CPA exam, then you can pick the area you want to go into, whether it's IT or taxation or auditing, all right? And as far as I know, it doesn't address the main problem that I see in the profession. There is people are not going for the CPA. The number of people taking the exam has dropped. I mean, you must find there's a shortage of CPAs out there.
Oh, yes. Yeah, there's definitely a shortage of CPAs, you know, given the market demand. Oh, yes, for sure.
Do you have it in Texas where you can have a person who's not a CPA, all right? The firm will teach them accounting because they have an IT specialty. And then they can still be partners in the firm as long as they call themselves principals. Is that what's the deal in, do you know what the deal is in Texas?
We are seeing a lot of hiring of other types of professionals into CPA firms. I'm not sure on the legalities of you know, having an equity stake. I believe that the individual, that the firm has to still at least 50% be owned by CPAs or something like that. But I'm not sure about that point. But yeah, we are seeing that quite a bit. I think that firms are adjusting, you know, there again, speaking about CPA firms specifically, I think that firms are adjusting to the marketplace. And if there aren't enough CPAs to do what's needed in the firm, then they're looking at other alternatives. You know, if it's that they don't have the right CPA that's available with the IT knowledge, well then, you know, they're looking at an alternative. Sadly, I mean, I even see it in core accounting positions. You know, if they don't have the right tax professional that has a CPA, well then they're, you know, going for the alternative, a tax professional without the CPA. And there again, there's just becoming, you know, less and less certified individuals.
Right. You could take someone who has a master's in taxation.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. I agree with you. I think that there are, I think the evolution is important. I do think that we also have the issue, like you're saying, of not enough people, you know, pursuing the exam. I'll tell you, you know, what's interesting is, you know, some things just never change. You know, the misconceptions that exist at the university level with students, you know, haven't changed in years. The, you know, it, that well, a master's is just as good as a CPA, or well, I don't really have to get a CPA. You know, I can have a great career otherwise, or I can do this later. I'm seeing the infiltration of the idea that, well, all these other certifications are just as valuable. You know, you should take these. And what's happening is individuals with, the certifying bodies of other certifications are pushing their certifications, and they should. But I think causing a misconception at the university level that they're the same as a CPA is causing us damage, because frankly they're not.
Are you saying if you go on for a master's in accounting and you don't go for the CPA, a lot of these people think that's just as good to go for a master's in accounting?
There's some of that still, yes. Or you brought up the CMA, and hey, the CMA is very valuable. I would tell you seriously, if you're 10 years into your career and you don't have that fifth year of education and it's just not practical for you to get it, and you're not going to work in public accounting, you just want to have a good career in industry, that's wonderful. And if I were in that position, I'd probably just go for the CMA and not go for the extra year plus the certification. However, if I was 2 or 3 years into my career, and I was thinking about certification, and I didn't have that fifth year with so many year, so much time left in your career, and who knows what you may want to do in the future. If there was any chance that I might ever want to be self-employed, I would go back and get that fifth year of education and get the CPA certificate, because it's just better insurance.
But if you want to do self-employment, what, accounting? Is that what you're talking about? You want to do your own accounting firm?
Yeah.
There's a big disadvantage to that, in that you must work for a CPA firm for at least a year, or work under an accountant for a year. Is that the experience requirement in Texas?
Yeah, we have the experience requirement in Texas. I guess what I'm saying is, my father was a CPA, and one of the reasons he encouraged me to become an accountant and the CPA was that he felt like if no matter what happens, you could always, quote, hang out your shingle, right, and start your own little practice, that it gave me career stability. And I think if I was out of college a few years and I hadn't got that fifth year and I wanted a certification, I would go back and get that fifth year to be able to become a CPA, because you never know.
Why don't you go into recruiting?
It looks like we're entering another recession with the coronavirus situation, but I've been through a few of these, and the first one was I was sort of getting out of college around the time of the SNL failure, and I was with my father's firm, and I wanted to go do something different. I went out looking for a job, and I interviewed with a recruiter, and that recruiter about a month later called and said, "Hey, how would you like to do something a lot different?" And I didn't have much to lose. I figured I'd give it a shot. And I worked hard and I got lucky and it worked out.
How many people do you have working for you?
There's six, so five. Six of us in the office.
And it's mostly accounting jobs you place?
That's all we do, is accounting jobs.
Are all your recruiters CPAs?
No. I have one CPA that works for me. The others have various levels of accounting background.
You going to a search firm or a recruiter?
Actually, the book I wrote, I use the term headhunter because that bothers some people. It doesn't bother me. But
you've written a book? Wow. What's the name of that book?
Actually, I've written a couple. That one is 49 Tips for Working with a Headhunter. And that was my second book. My first book is 49 Tips for a Successful Accounting Career. Available on Amazon.
What do you like about doing recruiting? I mean, if you had come out of school, now you had to go for the public accounting experience to get the license, right?
Yes. Well, any accounting experience, but yes.
Was it any accounting experience?
Well, in Texas, you don't have to work for a CPA firm. You just have to work under a CPA. So you can work in industry in Texas and still get your license.
But not every corporation has CPAs working there, so that could be a problem, right?
That is the challenge, yes.
They've made it more difficult. That's really what it comes down to. The 150 hours was one thing, but then to slap on this experience, you have to work under a CPA or in a CPA firm. Now, they have been making it even more difficult to get licensed. By the way, what's the age group of the people you place? Do you place people in their 20s, millennials? Who are you placing? What's your biggest market of placing people?
You know, this may surprise you, but actually, first of all, I have an individual in my office that specializes in non-degree positions even. And so, you know, consequently, you know, occasionally we'll have a candidate, you know, in their early 20s, just because they have experience and they didn't pursue a degree, all the way up to, you know, gosh, we have individuals probably close to 70, that are doing fractional kind of controller CFO work as well. So really it runs the gamut. Since we specialize in local positions, you know, San Antonio only, we service the whole accounting community. Probably our sweet spot is, you know, 3 years to probably 10 years experience, because there's just a lot of that in the market and the need for recruiting services is really high. But you know, these days it's not unusual, you know, for us to have individuals on either side of the spectrum. You know, we'll place to some of your points, and because of the shortage, you know, we'll place someone, a CPA that's got, you know, tax or audit background that really wants to quasi-retire.
With this coronavirus, you know, obviously a lot of companies have closed, all right? What do you see happening when this coronavirus is over? Do you think there'll be a greater need for accountants, or you know, because a lot of people basically have been laid off and they may not come back to those companies, all right? Therefore, do you see that causing an additional need for new people who have CPAs? Or do you think they're just gonna take back the same people who work there?
Hard to tell for sure what's going to happen going forward. We're seeing demand in other areas. You know, for instance, so restaurants are closing.
Yes.
However, Amazon and our local grocery stores are hiring a bunch of people to take care of this. And so I think it depends on how much the economy can soak up that extra supply of people in the workforce. From an accounting standpoint, which is where it's where I focus all my time. All the accountants I know are now working from home. I can tell you we have not started to receive a whole lot of layoff calls in my area from accountants. I do think that this will make some people more nervous about the stability of their employer, depending on what industry they work in. At the same time, also, from a different demographic standpoint, to your point earlier, I know we have a demographic issue in the industry, you know, so many people retiring, and I think that the stock market situation may cause people to delay retirement a little bit, but also this whole situation could tire people out and you know, make them determined to still retire no matter what, you know, because they're ready.
Yeah. So no, I think in a lot of cases, people might have to work longer because their, you know, their retirement portfolio has been, you know, dropped by 30% maybe. So they don't have the income to retire as early as they wanted to.
There is definitely going to be that. I think there's going to be people on both sides. What I wanted to mention though, Phil, is I do think that with everything going on now is seriously, not just because I'm on your show, but now is a great time to focus on studying for a certification exam. You know, use your time wisely. I told my staff, you know, get your job done, of course, but then, you know, use the time to somehow better yourself, you know, learn something new.
What we're doing, every Sunday for 4 hours, I'm doing live webinars, CPA review courses, all right? No charge, just to help people during these times. Because I know people are, you know, they don't have money. Now, I'm not a performer. I can't get on there and do singing or a concert, all right? But the one thing I can do is, you know, we do two subjects, you know, 2 hours, 2 hours. And I'm doing this to help the people. Because, you know, I've had people over the years say, you changed my life, All right. And I don't care how much you make, you can never get that. You can't put a value on that. So now, you know, I'm staying in CPA Review to help people. We're going to keep doing these Sunday classes free. Hey, this is the greatest time to study. It really is.
I think that's wonderful. And yes, if you will have your team send me a link to wherever people can find that, I will push that out on my own LinkedIn and through my companies as well.
Yeah, and until you do that, let me just mention for the people who are watching this, who are Mark's followers, you can call our office and speak to our manager, Sunny, 301-874-4900, extension 6. We are on Eastern Daylight Savings Time, so we're an hour difference. So we do it actually on Sunday from 12 to 2 p.m. Eastern Time, and then we take an hour break, and then we do 3 to 5. And, you know, we really have gotten people tremendously appreciate this. Hey, I don't mind. If you took another course and you pass, I'm not angry about that. You know, I just want people to pass the exam because I know it's changed my life with the CPA. I'm sure it's changed your life.
Oh, yes, so, definitely.
Tell us some good things about San Antonio, why you think people would love living there versus coming from other parts of the country.
You know, actually, we are the seventh largest city in the United States. However, it's got, you know, people say a small town feel. It really does because we're very spread out. There's a lot of small communities around San Antonio that are within commuting distance. So you can live in the country and still be, you know, next to the seventh largest city. Our cost of living is much lower than most other places. We see a lot of people coming in from California. That happens a lot, you know, here in San Antonio. The cost of living is tremendously different. Even then, frankly, than Houston or Dallas. San Antonio is just nice that way. And of course, we're the home of the Spurs, like you mentioned, the home of the Alamo. We've got a few major theme parks, the Riverwalk. It's a nice place to raise a family. It's a nice place to live.
Do a little advertisement for us, all right? Give them a phone number. Give them anything you want. Go ahead.
Thank you. 210-826-8000 or online, mgrar.com. Or LinkedIn, of course.
And repeat the phone number.
210-826-8000. 8000.
And prior to this virus, how was the demand for accountants in San Antonio?
Demand is so high that it's impossible to fill every position, honestly. It has been incredibly high. And I think we're going to return to still a healthy demand.
Oh, I believe that too, yeah. I mean, what large corporations are there in San Antonio?
We tend to work more in the small and mid space, but USAA is a humongous financial services privately held organization here. Valero Energy is another one. We have Rackspace, which is an IT, you know, hosted services company. There's many.
There's plenty of accounting jobs.
Oh, yeah.
You place people in finance jobs also?
Not really. I mean, we place financial analysts, but, you know, really it's still related to accounting.
Did you really always want to be an entrepreneur, have your own business? Or did you feel, hey, maybe I'll work with my father? When did you realize you wanted to be an entrepreneur?
Early on, I was even entrepreneurial in school. I mean, I was the kid with the popsicle stand, seriously, the actual popsicle stand, you know, in elementary. And so I was always sort of entrepreneurial. I will say that for 3 years during my career, I had been a partner at a place, left, and I went back and took a job with the company for about 3 years, right before I started MGR. And there are some benefits to you know, having a great job with someone that treats you well and trusts you. You know, you can do a great job and work and then just leave it, you know, and go home at night and not worry about it till tomorrow. And when you're an entrepreneur, it's sometimes a little harder to do that. So, but yeah, I knew pretty early on that I wanted to make the decisions, sad to say.
if you were a self-employed entrepreneur and you decide, hey, I don't want to own my own business, I want to go work for a company, is it hard to transition back from being a, you know, an entrepreneur where they say, hey, you're not used to working for someone, all right? So we're concerned about hiring you. You have your own way of doing things. You run into that. Is that a true statement?
There are some individuals that are concerned about someone who's been an entrepreneur a long time, about their ability to conform, you know, to do things the way you want them done versus maybe the way they want them done. There is some of that stigma in the marketplace. I have seen people successfully transition many times also. It really just depends on the fit. I mean, I think probably at this point I'm almost unhirable, and you're definitely unhirable because you've been self-employed a long time.
I feel that way, Mark. but you're probably right. You're probably right. Okay.
But no, and I'm joking with you, of course, but there is some of that. However, I really do believe it depends on the fit. I've seen some individuals that just feel like, you know what, it's time to be a part of a bigger thing than what I've got. And they go back into the workforce as an employee and it's, you know, and do great things for their employer. So it can go either way.
Let's give a plug for your podcast. What is your podcast that you do and how often do you do it?
I do it weekly. I've been doing it weekly for 3.5 years now. We have 160 something episodes, just released one today. It's the Where Accountants Go podcast. You can find it on any podcast app that uses the Apple directory. We have it on several other locations as well, or on my own website at mgrar.com. We have a podcast page there also.
I'm sorry, what's the podcast called? What day is it played?
It's released every Tuesday morning at 5 a.m., actually, Central Time. And it's called the Where Accountants Go podcast.
And what do you discuss on the podcast?
It's 100% interview format. And so I always interview a successful professional that started with a background in accounting. They may be doing accounting now, or they may be doing something different, but they started with a background in accounting, and it was that start that got them to where they are today.
And what do you share with them their experiences so you can pass it on to the people listening?
Yeah, I walk through their career, and along the way we get a lot of insights into, you know, what helped them be successful, and then I get down to what they're doing today and what they enjoy about it. And with many of the guests, I also take it a step further, you know, what they hope to see in the future. So each guest is a little unique. Obviously, with your podcast, we focused on your accounting background and of course, CPA questions. and, you know, other individuals, we may have a different focus.
Yeah, I mean, my podcast, I do like CPA review. You know, we do these webinars, but a lot of people I bring on who, have related fields, but not necessarily just accounting, you know, to discuss things. No, I've enjoyed doing it. You enjoy doing it tremendously?
Yes, I do. And you're doing a good job. I've enjoyed listening. We've had some of the same guests, which is always intriguing to me because I'll interview a guest on my show and then I hear him on another show. And the basics of the story are the same, but because the questions are different, you know, it ends up going a different direction. So I think you had Ben Richmond from Zero
yes,
on your show.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. And Sheehan, and I know there've been others. So yeah. It's always interesting. I really enjoy it. I love interviewing people, so it fits what I do.
Anyway, anything else you want to share, Mark? Did I miss something?
No, I just want to say again that, you know, since we're in this coronavirus situation, and use the time to make yourself better. You know, use the time to keep up your relationships in the business world as well, not just, you know, the personal world. And if you are, not just because I'm on your show, but if you are thinking of a certification, make sure you use the time to prepare for it. I completely agree with you.
And listen to, listen to Mark's podcast. I mean, we all want to help each other. We really do. I think we're in the same philosophy of we want to help people understand the field of accounting.
That's right. We're promoting the profession. That's right.
I'll tell you, if I went to a recruiter, Mark, it would be you because you have a sense of humor. I like, you know, if I talk to an accountant who has no sense of humor, I don't want to deal with him, you know? And, you know, it's too bad that you can't see Mark. And Mark is, you know, very personable guy. I can see that, Mark, really.
Thank you.
You smile, you have a sense of humor.
Thank you very much.
Okay? And you laugh at some of the things I say. And there'll be a check in the mail to you for that. Thank you, Mark. I thank Mark. Stay well, Mark. Thank you once again to the subscribers, the people listening to CPA Review and more. Keep listening to our podcasts. We have a new podcast every Tuesday, a new topic. And, you know, after you listen to Mark's podcast, you can listen to our podcast. Or you can listen to ours first or his later. So without further ado, I just want to tell everyone out there to please stay safe, stay healthy. Thank you for listening. This is Phil Yeager, and this is CPA Review and More, and we'll talk to you again.
Thank you so much for listening to Yeager's CPA Review and More. As a token for our appreciation for your listenership, we'd like to offer you 10% off your next purchase with Yeager's CPA Review. Save between $50 to $150 with code PODCAST10. If you'd like more information, look us up on JaegerCPAReview.com. And as always, if you've enjoyed this show, please rate and review on iTunes or your preferred listening platform. Again, thank you so much for listening, and we look forward to you tuning in next time.